In our gospel reading today, we heard this story known as the Transfiguration. Jesus takes Peter, James, and John away from the other disciples and the following crowd, and they go up to the top of the mountain where his identity as the Son of God is confirmed. It's a cosmic story that involves supernatural events. Clothes become so dazzling that it is clear that no cleaning substance could have had this effect. Long deceased ancestors return and speak with Jesus. A voice comes from the heavens. Presuming that this is an actual event, and presuming that Peter, James, and John are run-of-the-mill fishermen turned disciples, it's not surprising to hear that they were terrified. Surely one would expect to die on the spot in the very next moment after experiencing this kind of event. Peter, we are told, didn't know what to say in his state of terror. But rather than remain speechlessly terrified, Peter blurts out, "It's good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." This is so Peter. And Peter is so human. Rather than staring in mute amazement, astonishment, and fear, Peter blurts out a statement that makes it sound like he's got this all figured out. Certainly, this is one of the several instances in which we can relate to Peter. How many times has each of us said, "I wish I had just kept my mouth shut," or "I should have thought about it before I just blurted that out"? And our human relation to Peter is probably even deeper than that. Peter recognizes, even in his fear and trembling, that something profoundly monumental is happening in this moment and in this experience. There is more to this than just dazzling garments and revived heroes of the faith. This is a big event in a big and cosmic way. Jesus is being affirmed as being the culmination of the law represented by Moses and the prophets represented by Elijah. And not only that, but God's own self affirms that Jesus is God's Son, the Beloved. And then God says, "Listen to him!" Exclamation point. Do you have the same image I do of this moment? With the booming voice of God thundering and echoing throughout the mountains? Can you envision Peter, James, and John quivering on the ground, heads between their knees, hands over their heads, in elementary school tornado drill style? And Peter, not wanting to look foolish, jumps up and does exactly that. He blurts out a statement which reveals how much he has not been listening to Jesus to this point. "Let's make three booths," Peter announces. "Let's nail this down. Let's keep this moment in time and stay right here." Always, always, Jesus is on the move. Just last Sunday, we heard that when the disciples met up with him as he had gone away to pray, they said, "The whole town is looking for you." And Jesus basically responded, "We can't go back there. We've got to keep going. We've got to proclaim the message. That is why I came here." But we seem to understand Peter's position a lot more than we do Jesus's. We like to have everything nailed down. We like predictable and sure, tried and true. If we are here in this time and in this place and it is good, then we should keep it that way. Do you remember a day in your life when everything just fell into place? Where the sun was shining, the temperature was just right, there was a spring in your step, and you knew that God was smiling on you because everything just seemed so right in your world? You may not remember the exact day or the exact place, but every one of us has had that kind of day. The kind you wish you could just bottle and re-experience from time to time. It's good that we have these kinds of days. It's good that we are afforded those moments in time when we feel especially close to God and like that there's nothing that can burst our bubble of joy and love. Because we also know that we can't stay on top of that mountain. We do not always live in that bubble of joy and love. We trudge down the mountain into the valley of life, or we are catapulted off the mountain of bliss into the gutter of uncertainty and maybe even despair. We cannot stay on that mountain. Our lives, even our lives in Christ, are not always lived on the top of the mountain. Jesus says, keep moving, keep going. God says, listen to him. No matter where we are on the spectrum of mountaintop to gutter low, Christ is there with us. When Jesus and Peter and James and John started down the mountain, they met back up with the others and headed on their way to Jerusalem. This would be a journey that would lead to the lowest low that Christ's followers could ever and maybe even never have imagined. Not only did Jesus experience that mountaintop with his followers, he also experienced that gutter low on a cross as his human body was tortured to death. Yet even the gutter low, the lowest low of a painful and undeserved death, did not stop Jesus. The lowest low did not stop this plan of love. Jesus was resurrected and continues to bring new life to all who follow him, to all who follow the words of the Father and listen to him. We could come up with all kinds of reasons that this event, this transfiguration event, did not actually factually happen. And in doing so, we could then disregard its bearing on our lives. If we do that, we would miss out on an important truth about who Jesus is and who we are to be his followers. Whether or not this is an actual factual event is not nearly as relevant to us as the truth that is revealed about Jesus and about us. Jesus is God's Son, the fulfillment of all that had gone before and the unfolding love story of God and creation. And we are to listen to him on the top of the mountain, at the bottom of the gutter, when there are much louder voices screaming in our ears, when there are many temptations and distractions, when we think that we have gotten to the top of this mountain on our own, when we believe that we have been totally deserted by God and humanity. In all times and in all places, we are to listen for and listen to the voice of Jesus, the voice that keeps us going and urges us on. Listen to him. Amen.